You open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, please. As you're opening up, I'd just like to thank your minister and session for inviting me along to give a word of testimony. It's great to have a testimony. And even from God's word, we can hear where we're going to be reading, where we are to remember, where we did come from. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And amen. May God bless his word to your hearts. Just have a wee time of prayer, please. Prayer, please. Almighty God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence through that precious, precious blood that was shed at Calvary. Praise and thank you for the life and death of Christ. Praising and thanking you for the resurrection, Lord. I stand here today because of Christ and in his resurrection, Lord. We praise and thank you. We have great power, Father God, that death and sin has no more dominion over us, Lord. We stand today adopted in the family of God, child of God given, Father God, by thy Son. And Lord, we ask thee now, Lord. Thy word says, Father God, that you will come and help us, Father. We ask you, Lord, that thou would help us now. Take nerves away, Father God, and may we glorify thy name. May we lift up Christ and him alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, my exit might give it away. I come from Ballymena. So do you, my pockets are empty. But I live in Ballymena, and I lived up on the housing estate in Ballycullen, and I've got a younger brother. So having we were born into an ordinary family home, well, which we thought, anyway, we were. Mum and Dad worked really, really hard. They gave us everything that they hadn't got in life. And you would call it spoiled, and that's what I believe I was. I was spoiled. The only thing I never got was a motorbike when I was 18 years old. So it was anything I needed, I got. My mum and dad worked really, really hard. But when we were sent to Sunday school, and we were sent to wee Bible clubs too. But I can never, ever remember being told I needed to be saved. I can never ever mind sitting down and thinking about the things of God and those ages. Even into my teenage years and things like that, I can never remember being told that I needed to be saved. It wasn't until the age of 32 when some man told me that I needed to be saved. You know, when I lived in Ballymena, the Bible Belt in Northern Ireland, and I can honestly say I can never remember anybody asking me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew Christians. I didn't want to be a Christian because I didn't want to be like them. You know, they weren't walking the way I thought a Christian should walk. But to my shame, it didn't matter about that. The Bible tells you in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shaven in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The moment I left, I was conceived in my mother's womb. I was a sinner, destined for hell, and on a road, if I know now, which I would never have trod it. But the great saying is, sin takes you farther than you want to go. And sadly, that's the way it was in my life. At the age of 13, my mother let me join a band in Ballymena. And before that, I was in the house. I never left my mother's apron. But at that time, I started to go. I joined this band. And this is the first time I met a man called Rodney Balmer. And Rodney, in my life, had a great bearing in my life. But at that time, I didn't know nothing about him. I'd never met him the first time I met him. He was the bandmaster of the band, and he gave me a flute, and he sent me home to learn a couple of tunes, but the band only lasted for about 3 weeks, and it broke up. But my cousin started up another band in Ballykill, so he did, and we joined it. But then, that's when I got out and left my mother's side and my dad's side. Like, before that, I was in bed for 7 o'clock every night. Weekends come, you maybe let out to 7:30, and that's when mum and dad rares. But sad to say, once I joined that band, I'm not saying anything about bands now, but what comes along with the bands. It's the first time I even got introduced to drink. the first night we were out with the band. Everybody else was doing it, so you follow suit. Three, and you go on, and you go on. And then, at that time, maybe 17, 18 years old I was at this time, and the Anglo-Irish Agreement came in. And, sad to say, we wrecked this country, and that's what I done. I wasn't no prod. I know now I'm not a prod. I wasn't a prod. So I knew that. So I did, but it wasn't even that there. It was authority. Authority. I hate it, authority. I hate it, policemen. I hate it, anybody that told me what to do. Even at school, I didn't even like school teachers or nothing. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And I can honestly say that's the way I live my life. So it was, I went out there, I done whatever I needed to do. But sadly, I didn't know who was really ruling my life. I didn't know that there was a spiritual side to life. And at that time in my life as a sinner, the devil was my father. And I didn't know anything about that. Even if you'd have told me that in my unsaved days, I think you'd have had a run. I think I would have grabbed you by the throat. I would have said, no way. But the Bible says in John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant or a bondslave to sin. And I can honestly say I was a bondslave to sin. At the age of 19, we got involved. We were the first band to be stopped from going to a band parade in Northern Ireland. So we were told to go back. We went back and we went out to a hockle because there was another band parade that night. We were going somewhere else, but they stopped us outside Antrim. And the superintendent got in to the bus and says, "You boys aren't going any farther." The other policeman had to trail him out of the bus. And he was standing with a big white sheet of paper and he was reading this stuff off. We got the bit of paper off him and there was absolutely nothing on it. Not a thing on it. So we went to a hockle and got involved with these boys and they says, right, we'll go to the police station and don't let them stop you. Don't let them stop you. We're going to the police station. We're going to protest about this. So us, the Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities are separated between you and your God. You know, for God and country, many a time I sung those songs. You know, I think and praise the Lord, he put a new song in my mouth today. So we went and got involved and there's two policemen seriously hurt that night and the whole band got lifted about 3 weeks later, about 5:30 in the morning. The police came in through the door, which they had done before, come up and arrested me and the whole band. We were took away and questioned and I ended up in the Crumlin Road jail. And we got charged with serious offences. We were looking at 15 years to 20 years in jail if we were found guilty of these offences. So we were sitting in the jail, and you know, to my shame, my dad had never even got a traffic ticket in his life. And this bit of dirt here had him in Crumlin Road jail saying, talking to me. And what can you say? You know, the devil's a hard taskmaster. But even at that time, I was in just for a week. So I was, and this was a whole hullabaloo, and everything was going to be this and that, and the police was doing, trying to put charges here, there, and everywhere. But I praise and think that the truth comes to the top. At the end of that, it was about 3 years we were fighting in the courts, and we got a suspended sentence for it. But same again, it didn't wise me up. I went straight back out again. It wasn't any longer than 2 months out of that, into that suspended sentence when I got in trouble again with the police. So I did, but at this time I was married, I had a child. So I had, and sad to say, out of that marriage there was 3 children, and the marriage didn't last too long the way I lived my life. So I did, I was just a statistic in Northern Ireland. That's all I was. A young Protestant statistic, growing up, married, divorced, children, separated. And I ended up in a flat in Ballykill where I lived at, with a double bed and a 28-inch TV. I was a painter and decorator by trade. I worked in the police stations around Northern Ireland. I was making good money. I always believed the man worked hard and he was to enjoy a drink at the weekend. And sadly to say that the drink took over my life. So that at an early age, I remember going into the bar, really at the start, walking into a bar. I was about 13 years old. And I seen an old boy sitting in the corner, and he was just sitting there with the slabbers running out of him, and he was full. And I goes, I mind saying it, I'll never be like that. But by the age of 24, I was like that. So it was, I I'd rather had the drink than my wife and my children, sad to say. So about it, but that's the way my life was, and I went on, and as I said, living that flat, and the van, I was getting older, it was getting too old, I thought, anyway. When we were out and anything was happening, you were getting hit, you were getting too sore. My body wasn't taking the punishment that I was giving it. I was getting too sore. But Rodney Palmer had got saved, and Rodney had started working with me. He was a painter too. So he was, and I knew Rodney, and I couldn't believe the change in this man's life. This man was in and out of jail all his life. Rodney was in jail more than he was out of jail. From what I can remember being in the band, and I think he played a couple of 12 swears within about 7 years. He was in jail the rest of them times. So it was, but Rodney had got saved. And Rodney had told me about Jesus Christ, started to tell me about Jesus Christ, and the change that he made in his life. You know, in Luke 19 and 10 it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And that's what Rodney was telling me. He was telling me I was a sinner, and I was lost. And all the badness which I thought was in me, that was me, was sin. But I knew what Rodney was like. When Rodney done anything, he done it 100%. Didn't matter if he was in the bat, he was there 100%. If he was running down the street after you, he was running that 100%. So he was, and I knew this, and I had started to question Rodney. And we were working on a building site. And every day Rodney had the Bible out, reading the Bible on a building site. And this really started to speak to me. He was telling me wee verses like Acts 4 and 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And he kept talking to me about Jesus and about the Lord and about this and that. And I goes, "Rodney, it's not for me." But secretly, inside, I was wanting what I had. You know, I was spending hundreds of pounds every weekend to get the smile that he had every day in his face. There's an advertisement on the TV, the boy coming in and taking his face off. Well, I can honestly tell you, the people out there in the world, that's the way they are. That's the way my life was. I wanted to be happy, I wanted to have this, I wanted to have that, but I could never, ever do it. Didn't matter how long I stayed off the drink, I gave myself a pat on the back, I went at it twice as hard. So then I was throwing darts, I went out, threw darts, I'd have driven the motor to stop drinking. So I was taking the boys to the darts and bringing them back again. Well, I was taking them to a pub and bringing them home to a pub. I was leaving the motor home at 11 o'clock and running down to the bar and catching up with them boys. And what I mean catching up, you ever talk to a drunk man, it's like talking to a washing machine in 1300 spin, and you're sober. So the more I had to get more drink in me to get me, and this here wasn't working. I was trying everything to get off it. The Bible says in Matthew 19 and 26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And Rodney was telling me this. Plus, he was also learning me verses, the scripture. Now, you remember, I've never been in a church. I was in a church door when I got married. So I was. That was it. From when I was 13 years old, I stopped doing everything. Only time I was inside a church door, the day I got married, well, I had to go 6 weeks before you got married into the church, but I wasn't listening or anything. I didn't care anyway. But that's the only time I was in church. But Rodney started to talk to me and tell me about the Bible. And on the 4th of April 1999, it all came to a head. So that I was that morning, I was down in the dual carriageway. I was thinking about my life and things that had happened in my life and where I was. And I was a weekend dad. I seen my children on a Friday night. My mum and dad had to get them on a Saturday through the courts so I could get them on a Friday and Saturday. And that's the way I was. That's the way I lived my life. So it was, and I was standing in the dual carriageway thinking about life, and I just says, "Look, just end it now. Just step out, and he'll cry for you. You know, maybe a couple of days." But there's me again thinking of self. All me, me, me. So it was. I didn't care about nobody. I wouldn't have cared about anybody as long as me was all right. So it was. It was always about me. Nobody else but me. You know, but God says in his word, Romans 5 and verse 8, "God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, if you're in here tonight and you're unsaved, Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for more. Say that, you know, it really humbles me to know. And even in the prayer meeting, people saying, "There's nothing in me," and neither there is. There's absolutely nothing in me that deserved salvation. The Lord spoke to me as I went to step out in front of that car that night, that morning. And he said these words in my head. Now, he didn't come down and wasn't about it. It was just wee thoughts in my head. Ryan, are you not a better man than this? And that was God speaking to me. I'd went to a meeting with Rodney about 8 months before that and Diane. And I went into that meeting and I asked the Lord, if you're going to save me, you'll save me tonight. I didn't understand what save meant or nothing. I didn't know. I thought everything else would change, but I didn't need to change. And that's the way I wanted it. I wanted it my way. Me. All me again. That's the way I wanted it. I wanted it my way. I came out of that meeting as well, thinking that the Lord didn't even want me. And that was in November. This was in April. And between November and April, my father, the devil, had tormented me day and night. And that's why I come and testify to you, and I say to you, you're in here tonight and you're unsaved and God's speaking to you. Go and talk to somebody. I didn't know at them times that God was speaking to me. I got more drunker and I got more drunker and I got more drunker to keep them thoughts out of my head. I didn't believe people that was God speaking to me until I got saved. And I know now that was God speaking to me. So it was. But that day I went out, I got full drunk. I did again. I just went out. That's what my life was. I got drunk. It was about 10:30 at night. I was standing in the bar in Ballymena, about to fight with a cousin of mine, and them words came back into my head again. Ryan, are you not a better man than this? I'm taking a vodka and coke I had, and I set it on the table, and I walked out of that bar. I walked to Rodney's house in Drumtara. I knocked the door. This was around Easter time. I knocked the door. He had only been home from the martyrs. He told me later on how I know this. His house was bung, full of people. I didn't even know he was in the house that night. By mine, I'm coming to the door, and as he opened the door, I just burst into tears. I says, Rodney, can you take me out of this life? For I can't live it no more. And he brought me in, and he took me up the stairs to a bedroom. And he asked me, do you want to speak to a minister? And I said, Rodney, I need to speak to somebody. And he brought Mr. Mullen in from Ramelstown. And that man sat down with the Bible and opened the Bible and told me out of the Bible where I was a sinner and I needed Jesus Christ into my life. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning and I got down at an edge of a bed in Drumtara and I asked the Lord into my heart. And I was paralytic drunk and in an instant of time I was sobered. From that day to this day I've never been in a public bar. I mind a man, George Dawson, in our church in Ramelstein. George is dead now, passed on. I mind one of the words they always said, and it hasn't been easy, so it hasn't. The life I lived, my head's fried nearly every day of the week. So it is. Well, I've got a great God who gives me grace, who carries me on every day. And George always said to me, he says, Ryan, you have one testimony. He says, look after it. I didn't know what he meant then, but I know now what he means. You know, we have taken many a person to church. We have seen many a person make a profession of faith. But they always wanted it their way. The way I wanted it. My way. You know, God sets out the commandments that we are to look for. The Bible says they're our schoolmaster. To keep us right. To keep us on a path. And I love authority now. I love the authority of that book. Every day I lift that book now and I read it. It wasn't long after I got saved. My wife now, Diane, she got saved. I was living with Diane for 18 months before that. When I got saved, we parted company. And the very next night, Diane got saved in my flat in Ballykill. We, Thomas Laverty, pointed Diane to the Lord. And we were sitting reading the Bible one night around in the house. And we got a knock at the door. And a mate of mine came to the door. It was his girlfriend at that time. And she says, can you come down here and talk to him? And we went down and he says, Ryan, can you help me? He says, I'm a heroin addict. You know, and I didn't know what to do or not. But me and Diane got down and we prayed. People had told us to pray. We prayed. So we did. And we got involved with Chris Killen. You know, you may be in the meeting tonight. You may be thinking what I thought. I honestly thought if I'd get saved, I'd have to sit in the corner like an old person and wait for God coming back. You know, God has given me a peace in my heart. He has given me a life I never had. And I always wanted. And I tried for 32 years to live it my way. And I can honestly tell you tonight, if you're in this meeting, even your mother and dad may be saved and you're not saved. Maybe in the meeting, somebody's brought you to the meeting. So you have, think about Christ. Because he can take you round this world. I was in Africa. I would have never been out in Northern Ireland if I wouldn't have been saved. I was in Africa painting the wee skull out there. I've been in many a place around Northern Ireland doing door-to-door, helping out in children's work, doing wee children's meetings. You know, and about 4 years ago, five years ago now, I went to the session in Ballymena and asked them, could we start with a wee Bible club in Ballykill? You know, we've been doing that for 5 years. Around the wee children, you know, people, it's really, really important to get the children. To go to your neighbours. Doesn't matter if they're drunk, they're slobbers, they're going to shout at you, they are, you're going to be different. But God told you, they're going to laugh at you, they laughed at him. I don't care they laugh at me. But I can honestly tell you, Rodney Balmer was my Bible. I had never read the Bible in my life, so I hadn't. But Rodney Balmer was my Bible. I watched him daily. I watched him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he walked in my life as true as I could think a Christian should walk. You know, and I know now how hard it was, and I know how hard it is. But if you're doing it in your own strength, you'll never do it. You have to give your all, your whole all, to Christ. That night I got saved, I knew my life was over, the way I lived my life. I didn't want it no more. Maybe you're tonight, you're thinking about it, and you're thinking, oh, I have to give this up, I have to give that up. You don't have to give nothing up. Because see, when Christ comes into your life, he gives you a new heart, and you won't want them things. So you want, and I got saved, I got a new heart. And them desires left me completely. So they did. I don't want to drink anymore. I know what drink does. I know what that life does. I know what a life of sin leads to. But if you're in the meeting tonight, listen to the preaching of the word. Listen to Christ. If he's speaking to you, speak to the minister. Speak to some Christian. Don't be tormented the way I was tormented for those months. Thinking I could do this and thinking I could do that. Once I sat down and talked to that man that night, Mr. Mallon, Lord opened my eyes and he opened my ears to hear the words of him. God saved me on the 4th of April 1999. He has kept me to this very day, say it has this very hour, and I believe he'll keep me going on. The Bible says we're in a race. The weight of me, I don't run very fast. I thank the Lord for that. I just jog along, jog along, and that's the best way to go, just keep going and going. But if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, start that race tonight. Amen.